Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. First, I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to my pastor and to each of you. Praise God. Thank God for the privilege of being used. Amen. My prayer is that through the course of hearing the message today, that you will leave here in a way that's different from the way that you came in. And that upon hearing the word, we all be better as God's people. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege, O God, of being able to assemble ourselves one more time in your sanctuary. We ask, O God, that if there be anything in us, O God, not of you, that you take it away, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you would touch the ears of the people and that you said that faith cometh by hearing, Lord. And so we ask that you touch the ears of your people, O God, so that they may obtain a measure of faith, O God, because you said without faith it's impossible to please you. And so we ask that you would do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask also that you would take me out of self, O God, decrease me so that you would be increased, O God, in the course of my being used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, as often is the case, at least with me, I start to study sometimes, and I really don't know, thank you, Catherine, I really don't know often what the Lord would have me to say. But when I was in Bible study Friday night, we were studying about the sovereignty of God. And during the course of the conversation, the Lord showed me what he would have me to say. And I want to say this. You know that when I turn on the news and sometimes when I just look up and down the street and see the way people are doing, I have to ask myself, is hell a real place? Because it seems like people are just doing what they want to do, regardless of whether they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. People continue to do what they want to do. And then when they hear the word of God, and we know that, you know, the word is going to do what it's supposed to do, we say sometimes, well, I got time, I'm still young. I got time, I'll get it together in maybe 10 or 15 years. And we never know when our life might be required. And then there are those who are within the body of Christ who don't do right either, because the word says we all fall short of God's glory. We are all as filthy rags compared to his righteousness, but we don't confess everything. And so we take a risk. We'll take the chance. Well, I'll get it together before my time comes. And we don't know when our time is going to come. But somehow, we've got to be ready. My message is going to start out of Matthew 23. And I just want to make a couple of statements as you look for it. The question today is hell real? Or is it just a symbol? Is there actual hell fire? Is that merely a vivid image representing God's displeasure with us? Jesus Christ spoke about the fires of hell and of hell as a very real place of fire and eternal torment. And I want to start with the 33rd verse in chapter 23 of Matthew, where the Lord says, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" We'll look at that, just those two words, condemned to hell. I don't know about you, but in my mind, these are sobering words that the Lord spoke while rebuking the scribes and Pharisees who were rejecting him. Jesus spoke of the likelihood of their being condemned to hell. Now, there was a survey that was taken last year that showed that only 59% of Americans believe that there is a real hell, a real place of punishment. What that really means is that 41% of Americans have embraced a tragic error that is easily corrected by a plain reading of the word. Now, the Bible tells us that we need to study so as to show ourselves approved of the Lord. And we have made the analogy many times that when we apply for a job and go through the interview process and get hired, during the first day of our employment, they generally give us a job description. And sometimes people want to know, why is it that I need a job description? I came through this interview process and was able to demonstrate my qualifications. Why then do I need a job description? Well, the answer is this. You need a job description so that you might know what is expected of you. It's hard to operate when you don't know what's expected of you. You can look at the Bible in the same way. You don't know what God is expecting of you if you don't read his word. So while maybe 41% don't believe that hell is a real place, all they really need to do is read the Bible for themselves to dispel that myth. Now, some people believe that hell was a somewhat vague concept in the Old Testament. But it really does take on a very clear meaning in the New Testament, particularly in the words of Jesus in the Gospels and of John in Revelation. We see that hell is definitely a real place. Now, like many of you, I've done word studies on terms like Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna. But that amount of detail is not my intent here today. I simply wish to draw from the straightforward words of the New Testament the clear conclusion that there is a real hell, a place of fire and torment, where God will inflict eternal punishment on those who have rejected his son, Jesus Christ. Now in Matthew 5 and 22, you read it for yourselves, you can write it down. The word says, "Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell." And again in Matthew 5, verses 29 through 30, The word says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. I read that one time, and I was having a conversation with my wife, and I said, you know, when I think about all that's going on out there, every time I turn around and look, no matter where I look, all I see is flesh. Everywhere. And it really, it's not something that's pleasurable to look at. And I said, well, you know, if I did what the Old Testament told me, I would have to take both my eyes out and walk around blind just to escape what I see every day out here. It's flesh everywhere. Now, in our opening verse, we saw Jesus warning that some would be condemned to hell. It is clear that Jesus saw hell as a definite place to which some people would be condemned or damned. In the two verses, we saw Jesus warning that some would be condemned. In these two verses above, we see Jesus shedding more light on hell. It is a place of fire, the fire of hell. Now, it's interesting that we were in the Bible study Friday, and I remember thinking about what Proverbs 1 and 7 says. It says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Now, that came up because someone made a statement that it seems like a lot of people don't have any fear of the Lord. They just do what they want, anytime they want it, do it. And they just don't have any fear of the Lord. But the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you know, this is really an eye-opener if you really get to study this, because many times we think that a fool is somebody who is without knowledge. And that's not true. A fool is a person who, despite what he knows, will do the thing anyway. In other words, if you got a fire there, the fool will put his hand in the fire knowing in advance that he's going to get burned and will put his hand in there anyway. Okay, now the Lord has said to us, the wages of sin is death. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, having received the word, having tasted of the Lord and knowing that he is sweet and good, many of us, we turn our back on him anyway. So are we fools or what? Okay, sometimes we get an attitude, and in our attitude we think that we're grown, and as such we're not subject to correction because we can do what we want to do. And that's not true. The wages of sin is still death. Amen. Now we know that hell is a distinct, identifiable place, and it is a place where the wicked go, and they will be thrown into it. That's right, they'll be thrown into it. They ain't not, you know, you can see sometimes kids, my wife and I, when Catherine was still little, like maybe 3 or 4 years old, we would put her in the top of the cart in the supermarket, and we would ride her around as we went shopping. But when we got to the cereal aisle and the candy aisle, we would have to detour around that, because when we got into those aisles, she would start trying to snatch stuff off the shelf. And if we didn't have her in the cart, we would have to actually drag her away from the candy aisle, the cereal aisle. Throw her right back into the car so she couldn't escape. Well, that's how it's going to be with some of us when it gets time to be thrown into hell. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto all men to die and then the judgment. Okay? And it's going to be too late then. And they'll try to resist. You'll be thrown right into hell. That is not a place where I want to go. Now let's look at Matthew 18, because I want you to see for yourself what the word says. We're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9. And I'm going to read it to you. You can write it down. You can read it for yourself. It says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. In verse 9 it says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell fire. Again, Jesus is showing us that hell is, number one, an identifiable place, and two, a place where the wicked are thrown into, and three, a place of fire. Okay. But here, Jesus adds another descriptive element. The wicked will be thrown into eternal fire. This is not a fire that annihilates and burns out, but rather one that lasts for eternity. It doesn't go away. It's not, and there is nothing to, there is nothing in my experiences that would enable me to understand eternity. Something that goes on and on and on and on. Even when I got my worst whippings at home for being a bad kid, being disobedient, as much as it hurt, I knew in my mind that sooner or later my mom would have to stop. It wasn't going to go on and on and on and on. Yes, it had a beginning and it definitely had an end. But in hell, there is no end. Once you enter into it, there is no getting out of it. The torment will go on and on and on and on. Now, if you look at Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11, we see very similar words. Goes on to say, about those who worship the Antichrist and receive his mark. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And in verse 11 it says, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. It just goes on and on and on and on. Now Jesus' earlier emphasis on fiery torment for eternity is reaffirmed here. We see it again. Although John does not explicitly mention hell, here the context is clearly that of God's wrath and destination place of fury, fiery torment for those upon whom God's judgment falls. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no stopping it. Anybody still have a difficulty believing that hell is a real place? Let's look at a couple of Mark. Go to Mark. You can write it down if you wish. Mark 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out. And again in Mark 9, verse 45. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And again in Mark 9, verses 47 through 48, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Jesus here restates two facts about hell. One, it is a real place, a real hell, and the lost go into it. And again, the fire is eternal. The fire never goes out. Now, we see something a little different here in that, and referring to Mark 9 and 47, he gives us a little bit more insight. He says, hell and the kingdom of God are the two opposite destinations. From numerous scriptures, we know that the born-again believer in Jesus Christ spends eternity in the kingdom of God. Those who have not received him spend eternity in the fires of hell. That's it. Either eternity with the Lord or eternity in hell. No in-betweens. I like this. I had heard the pastor when he was teaching all of us about hearing the word. You hear it, and you do. You hear it, or you don't do it. There is no in-betweens. Hear and do, or you don't do it at all. If you do it, we look forward to spending eternity with the Lord. Now, let me say this. We're talking about things that we do in the flesh that can cause us to go to hell. So far, we talked about if your hand causes you to sin, if your eyes causes you to sin, if your foot, right? Well, let me tell you this. Your thoughts can send you to hell. The Lord sees and hears everything. There is nothing you can do that will hide your intentions from God. I remember many times, see, my mother, she never played with us. She hit hard, and it hurt. And many times when I was being chastised, I took the whipping, but in my mind, I was calling her all kinds of names. That's right. I didn't have the nerve or the courage to say it to her face. That would have been suicidal. So I did the next best thing by calling her a bunch of names in my mind. I didn't learn until years later that those thoughts, just the thoughts alone, could throw me into hell. Right? What the Bible said, Pastor, as a man thinketh, so is he. Okay? So that really wasn't saving me. I might as well have just gone on and said it to her face. Because in the sight of God, it's the same thing. Okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to start reading at verse 19. I just want to take a little more time just to make it a little clearer. That's Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. That's verse 23. In hell where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. 24. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. I beg you, fathers, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Amen. Now, here we get a little bit a clearer picture here. What is life in hell like? Here we get a little glimpse of that. Jesus describes hell as a place to be avoided at all costs. In verse 23, we see that in hell, there's torment. The man in hell fire was alert. He was conscious, and he was able to speak. He was not annihilated, as some wrongly believe happens at death. Verse 24, I am in agony in this fire. Again, the clear statement that hell fire is a place of ongoing agony. You don't want to go there. In Revelation 20, three verses, verses 12 through 15, we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their work. 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, after the last judgment, all the occupants of hell, those names that won't be found written in the book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the final fury. Listen to this. The devil himself ends up in the lake of fire, which is called a place of torment forever and ever. That's Revelation 20, verse 10. That's where he's going to be forever and ever. I want to be with the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to go there. There is a real hell. Hell is a real place, not just a symbol. Those who die outside the Lord's grace and salvation will be condemned. Hell and a lake of fire that in the end receive all the occupants of hell is a place of fire, torment, and agony. The torment is eternal, and the fire never goes out. The occupants of hell will be conscious, able to communicate, and aware of their agony. I want to conclude by saying this. I take no joy in the fact that many will choose to reject Jesus Christ and will spend eternity in the fires of hell. To provide salvation from the wrath due to our sins, God the Father allowed Jesus to die for our sins, to be buried, and then to be raised from the dead and ascend alive back to heaven. Jesus is there today at the right hand of God the Father. And nothing, and I mean nothing, would give him greater joy than to receive you unto himself as a born-again child of God. The Lord, that is God, Jesus, delivered from the condemnation of hellfire, us, because he took our sins. My prayer daily is that, Lord, seeing that your word said, we all fall short of your glory. Save me, help me, build me up in those areas of my life where I fall short, so that I might live in such a way as to be acceptable in your sight. Now, some of us are perfect, I know. We don't have no faults. I remember reading one time the Bible said, no man ought to think more highly than he ought. And we need to take that to heart. We all have faults. We all fall short of God's glory. I don't know about you, but I don't want my running to be in vain. I want to be able to enter into the gates. Now, I'm telling you, this is one of the few places that I've been in my walk where we have very few babies here. In this church, we don't have a lot of babies here. We have very serious, solid Christians here. So I can say to you that we are without excuse. And that's true. We got a pastor here. For y'all that just come today, we got a pastor. He hit hard. He knows. Well, brother, you know, this is reasonable. Okay. But other than that, the word. We're going to go by the word. This is what the word said. Nothing else is acceptable. It's the word. Hear and do. If you don't do it, you got to remember the wages of sin is death. Okay, you put yourself at risk of going to hell. Hell is a real place. I think what has to happen is that we need to hear more about this kind of thing. Because we raise kids up in the church and they understand protocol. But when they become of age where they are able to go off on their own, they seem to be so anxious to taste of the world that they forget about the things that pertain to the Lord. And they put themselves at risk.
Yes.
Now, of myself, I can do nothing. Of you, yourselves, you can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things. We have to understand this. The Lord that's keeping us. We ain't keeping ourselves.
Amen.
The Lord is keeping us. Amen. We have to ask for mercy. Lord, I live in the midst of a neighborhood where everybody is insane. The people are doing what they want to do. Lord, save me. Help me to let my light shine in such a way that when people look at me, they know who I belong to. Amen. You shall know them by their walk. That's what the words say. I don't partake in a lot of things that you're going out. You see, go out there and you see people doing. Why? Because I want to live in such a way as to please the Lord Jesus. I want to live a life that's pleasing unto him. We need to walk with that kind of newness of mind, conscious. Lord, died to, you know what? Listen, we were talking to my wife and I the other day. She said, you know what? The words say we should delight ourselves in the things that pertain to the Lord. I don't mind coming to prayer on Wednesday night because I know we're two or three gathered, the Lord going to be there. And I like to be in his presence. So I don't mind going. I don't mind going to Bible study. As often as the church doors are open, I'm going to be there because I delight. I take delight in the things that pertain to him. I enjoy it. Just like I used to delight in going out to the bar and smoking that weed and all that. I used to like that kind of stuff. And when I came to know Jesus, I said, Lord, take it away from me. I don't want to do things that are not pleasing to you. Because I know that hell is a real place. I'm not looking to go there. Now the Bible says, and it pertains to all of us today, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Because you can't come in there and praise the Lord and then when you go back home, tip out the back door and do some of the things that you're doing. A lot of you are creepers in here. You're not fooling God. God sees it all. Everybody in here ain't living right. We got to live in such a way as to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus. We ask the Lord to search our hearts. If there's anything in me, now to you, Lord, show it to me so that I can just say, Lord, I give it to you. There are things in this world that if you ever pick up, you need the Lord Jesus to help you put them down. There are people that are bound. The Lord don't want us to be bound. He wants to be free. So we have to choose today who we're going to serve. Because hell is a real place. And the Lord don't desire that any should be destroyed. But it's all about him and it's not about us. Amen. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would cleanse us, oh God, by your precious blood. Help us, oh God, to walk in newness of life, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, oh God, as we mortify the flesh. Put it to death in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give us a hunger and a thirst after your righteousness, oh God. Fix it, Lord Jesus, so that we think more about you than on our circumstances. You said in your word, oh God, that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Because the Father know what we have need of, oh God. Let us be anxious for nothing, oh God, realizing that we'll never, Lord Father, have to beg for bread. That is you who continues to keep us and sustain us, and not we ourselves, in the name of Jesus. Lord, fix it. Create opportunity, oh God, so that we can share you with others, oh God, because you've appointed us to be fishers of men and have stated that we are your ambassadors, oh God. We ask that you open up the door of opportunities so that we might share you with others, oh God. Use us for thine glory, oh God, as we labor to expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.